Welcome to the World Service Conference 2020 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name is Nina and I'm a compulsive debtor. And the topic for our workshop today is you are not alone. If the first speaker would like to jump on board.
Hi everyone, isn't this amazing? Gosh, like thank goodness for the team that put all this day's events together and all the people that got the speakers together. I want to thank Christine S. for inviting me to speak on this session. And I heard the first keynote speaker a little while ago, and just amazed. There were 400 people on that Zoom call. It's just remarkable that we have the cohesive fellowship that we do to continue our recovery under these current circumstances. I'm glad to speak on the topic, we cannot do this alone, because I strongly feel and believe that we cannot do this alone. In my DA, pre-DA days, you know, I thought we were supposed to do everything alone. I thought it was wrong if we asked for help. I thought it was wrong if we, you know, were admitting to people that we didn't know what we were doing or didn't know how to handle our finances or whatever the issue might be, didn't know how to navigate through work issues, interpersonal issues, all kinds of stuff, you know. And I felt so much shame in those days because I didn't know how to do so many things that I thought I was supposed to be able to do. And here I am many years later, and there's so much that I don't know still, but I know we have this fellowship where we can reach out to each other, support each other, and offer each other a shoulder and a hand when we need it. About an hour ago, after hearing the first keynote speaker, I was kind of feeling just mildly anxious about speaking, and I called a fellow of mine in the fellowship and just told him I felt a little nervous about this. And he asked me, why do you feel a little afraid? Why do you feel nervous? And I said, I think it's because, you know, these circumstances that we've been under in the world, in this country for the past, you know, 6 or 7 months or so, no face-to-face meetings, which are the only kind of meetings I was accustomed to, resulted in feeling disconnected. You know, it feels like it takes more of an effort. And oddly enough, even though we can attend these meetings sitting right in our living room, wearing our pajamas or whatever it is, it still feels like it takes a little bit extra effort to connect under these circumstances. I don't know if that is true for everyone, but it feels true for me because my schedule, my daily schedule has been upended. You know, how I do things, how I participate, how I navigate into the trappings of my life has been upended, you know. And so I think that's why I felt a little uneasy. And I haven't spoken outside of just normal shares in a meeting before. I haven't been to a face-to-face meeting since February. And I haven't qualified, you know, been the main speaker in a meeting. It's been a while. It's been quite some time. But it's really good for me to be able to show up today. When I was early in recovery, I remember going to a meeting one night, and the speaker said something like, this has been many years ago, this is definitely a paraphrase, but it was a woman who was qualifying, speaking to the group, and she said something. She was speaking about having been on a date recently and how great the date felt, how great the date went. But she says, my date sitting across the table from me had no idea that it took about 6 12-step meetings that week, 2 meetings with my therapist, a phone call with my therapist, multiple meetings, multiple phone calls to multiple support people, yoga every day and meditation every day in order for me to sit across the table from my date and appear normal. And the room laughed, you know, when she said that, because that's how it feels sometimes as recovering people. You know, we have to avail ourselves of so much help in order to continue and move forward in our recovery. And it does seem like a lot just to feel normal in the world we function in. And I hear myself talking about feeling normal. And from what I'm seeing today in the world, I don't know if I want to be among the group that's normal. I'm very happy to be here with all of you guys today. And forget all the stuff that's normal that the majority of people are doing out there. I'm very happy to be with my DA fellows. But I just know in my recovery, there's no way that I could have continued. I've been active in DA for 20 years, dabbled in DA prior to that, but actively solvent for about 20 years. And there's no way at all I could have done this. DA has been there with me through multiple jobs. He has been there with me through getting fired from jobs.
5 minutes,
has been there through. Thank you. DA has been there with me through starting new relationships and new romantic relationships. DA has been there with me through the ending of romantic relationships. DA has been there with me through geographical moves from New York to Fort Lauderdale, back to New York, and now in North Carolina in my hometown, all done solvently. And I have a lot of abundance in my life these days, and I know I would not be where I am today if I didn't have the fellowship helping me, if I didn't have a list of phone numbers of people I can call, if I didn't have a list of meetings that I can dial into or Zoom into or attend face-to-face when those meetings resume. This is clearly a we program. It's clearly something we cannot do alone. And I am so, so grateful for all that the fellowship has offered to me. I feel like I've sort of just giving a sort of top level overview of this topic, but I'm going to end there. I guess this is really a share of gratitude of everyone that has availed themselves to me over the course of my recovery. And I'm just so grateful for it. So thank you for letting me speak today.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Thank you for your share. Is our second speaker on deck?
Hi, everyone. My name's Chris. I'm a debtor.
Hi, Chris.
I'm grateful to be here today. Thank you for all of you for being here as well. All of us sharing our common desire to recover. I'm from Michigan originally, but found myself in Los Angeles about 25 years ago. And how lucky am I that we have a great fellowship here and a lot of meetings, a lot of support, a lot of experience, and a lot of opportunity to give back to others in our DA worldwide community. And today is a great way to do that. I just want to, I really like the theme, we can't do this alone. And that reminds me of a couple things. I'd like to just read two quick paragraphs from 12-step literature. It says, go ahead, everyone, just go ahead and take a breath and just breathe in the wisdom that others wrote down for us. It says, a wonderfully nurturing atmosphere is created when people help other people by being themselves and sharing their own experiences. I will contribute to this interchange today. And we meet as equals and help one another, not because some of us are experts and others are learners, but because we all have needs and strengths. So we definitely can't do this by ourselves. And I'm a firm believer in that. And it just reminds me of, you know, here we are. I mean, we're all dialed in, right? We're all different places. We all have a network of support. We have probably some literature. We have a sponsor, pressure relief group, where we have people we can reach out and talk to. But just think for one moment, if you would, as I sometimes forget about what brought us here. Another common thing is that I would suspect all of us bottomed out. All of us hit bottom. It is my experience that no one comes to these rooms willingly. And when we come, I think we come, I can speak for myself, with a sense of hopelessness. But the point I'm trying to make is that when I come to this room, I come alone. I come because I've been alone. I came because I was in isolation for so long. I came because I was doing it by myself, thinking with such shame that no one had answers. That was the last time, July 15th, 2005, that was the last time I faced my lifelong fear of debting alone. Ever since then, I've been part of something bigger than myself, something greater than myself. At first, it was people in the room. It was a person sitting next to me. It was a newcomer greeter. It was my first sponsor, my first pressure relief group, on and on it goes. That was the last time I was alone. And I realized that my recovery depends on other people. And opening myself up to a power greater than myself. That can, like I say, be physically someone next to me, but hopefully for me, that continues to evolve into a power even greater than that, which is a higher power that I come to believe in and lean on and talk to on a regular basis. So again, it's just an example of not being alone. Well, as we go on, I start to learn more about myself and what keeps me in isolation. And the biggest thing was overwhelm. So again, I'll read something, some 12-step literature. It says, when I catch myself feeling overwhelmed or not being able to get anything done because there is so much to do that I don't know where I am or where to start, I'll stop for a moment and remind myself to take it one step, one task, one day at a time. So even that is not my disease, not my fear talking. It's the wisdom of the program. And one way that I was called to be a part of something was to be a workshop chairperson in Los Angeles many years ago. And we didn't have much of a workshop. We had workshop, but there weren't that much a part of our recovery. And so I was tasked with every month to come up with something. And eventually I came up with something called the DA Tools Game. And the DA Tools Game is a workshop we've been doing in Los Angeles for, I think, about 11 years now. And in a nutshell, it's the DA Tools Game is, and about 3,000 people have gone through the workshop. And today, many people continue to play this. All we do with the DA Tools Game is we take four tasks. Self-care, we take the tools, basically the tools of DA. We take self-care. We take keeping our numbers.
5 minutes.
Thank you. To be financially sober. We take outreach call. And we take expanding our earning or our vision of earning. So we just use those four tools. Outreach call, can't do it alone. Keeping our numbers, that's financial sobriety. Expanding our earning or our vision of earning. And the last one is self-care, doing one thing nice for ourselves. One thing nice, because I find in DA, if I cannot value myself, I find it hard to get other people to value me. And so anyway, so what the game is that every day, if you do those tasks for 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, you get 25 points. And do four tasks, get 100 points. Well, the thing is, the game, we call it a game because we do this in teams of four. Four people play on a team. Now, if you left me to myself to do self-care, keep my numbers, expand my earning, and make an outreach call, I would not do that. But the magic of this game that's endured for 11 years and gone to, actually it's played in other countries, it's translated into Spanish. Last month we played, had the workshop, we had people from Australia, New Zealand. The magic, it's nothing new. The magic is we play in a team of four. Every week we make an outreach call and we have an action partner. And then the next week we switch to another person. And then the third week we switch to the other person. And it's a way of breaking our isolation. And so that's what we do. We play this game and it is a game because then each team takes their average score and competes against all the other teams. And, so it's a little bit of fun, but my point is the ingredient that makes it work is the outreach call to someone else. We develop that habit of reaching out to someone and breaking our isolation. And the other thing is to, when you're on a team, I find I'm part of something greater than myself. When I'm on a team, I find that I'm part of something greater than myself. And that might be like an entry level drug into like higher power, you know, being part of something greater than ourselves. It's just human nature to rise to the occasion. So anyway, that's what we do here. And it was just an idea that we had and we were good. But the thing about it, I just want to point out is that they always say you teach the workshop you need the most. And even though this workshop came through me, and I say through me, I mean, did I write on paper? Sure. But it came through me by being of service. You know, God speaks to us through other people. Wouldn't it be awesome if God just wrote notes and stuck them under our pillow each night when we wake up and know what to do? But, you know, everything comes through other people. It came through me. Because I really needed help in these areas and I still need help in these areas. And that's why I continue to play the game. And that's why I continue to remind people, we need each other and to be kind. I will say one last thing. I will say this as moderator of the D8 Tools game. Like last time we had, what was it, like 147 people that played, and we have a 90% success rate. 9 out of 10 people finish, which is really great. The problem, here's the thing, we're talking about we can't do this by ourselves, right? But the thing I get, the emails I get more than any other emails are people's Al-Anon issue with other people on the team. Specifically, like this person's not calling me back, and this person's not doing it the way I think they should, and this person did this. And all I'm trying to say is when I hear this, I just reply to the person, I say, how wonderful. What a great opportunity to keep the focus on yourself. What a great reminder that how someone works their program is just a reflection of where they're at in their relationship to themselves and God, and how great of an opportunity it is for you to be especially kind without going out of your way and taking the focus off yourself, without taking responsibility. How wonderful to be kind to another person, because obviously when they're acting out as you see it or not being nice is just the fear talking. So my point is we do need each other, but within that, I have to remind myself always to be kind and accepting of the debtor who is suffering in a different way than I am at this particular time. So empathy is so, if we are to do this together, empathy, not sympathy. That means you pity the victim. Empathy means I've been there. I understand that. I love you anyway. How can I support you? So I think those are the guidelines, and that's what we try to teach here. And God bless you all, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful, Chris. Thanks so much for sharing. So we have another speaker up here. Are they on deck?
Yes. Hi, I'm Allie. Okay. I came into DA in March of 2014 by accident, thinking that it was a different fellowship. And it's interesting, it was on St. Patrick's Day, which is like the color of money. And when I came in, I was working part-time, living with my family, because I had a bond in 2010. And so I was forced to move out of my apartment and be with my parents again. And my dad was paying for my car insurance. I was on Medi-Cal. And my world was just really small. And I was really struggling to find a full-time job. But my spiritual practice, it was too gentle. And so, when I went to my first meeting, it was really painful. But I knew it was God's way of saying, Allie, you know what? Your friends have been telling you that maybe you should come to this program. And so I did surrender. I went to a few meetings and cried all the time. And after the sixth meeting, I got a sponsor, because I knew, because I'm in different fellowships, I knew getting a sponsor, working the steps was the spiritual solution to all my sufferings. And so once I got a sponsor, we started working the steps. I was doing a step every week and meeting with her. And I'm grateful that she was a black belt sponsor. And she told me, Allie, if you want to work with me, this is what we do. And she just, there's a lot of structure, and that's what I really needed, a sponsor that was really blunt, but also kind. And 6 months into program, once I start working the program, I start going in all these, like I call them godly adventures of job interviews. And I remember one time I had all of these job interviews and I was like, what's going on here? And I became like suspicious, thinking, I don't know if this is legit. And my sponsor said, well, Allie, that's what happens when you start working the program. And so whenever I did not want to go to a job interview, because a lot of them, I was overqualified, but I knew that it was important for me to be proactive, knowing that God did have a job for me lined up. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. And I just knew I had to do my part and keep saying yes to whatever he put in front of me. And I would call my sponsor, I would call people in program, and they would always tell me, no, Allie, go to these job interviews. And so after 6 months of going to all these job interviews, my employer right now actually found me. And it was funny, like when I went for a job interview, one of the interviewers said, oh, you know, I lit a candle at church, you know, just like praying, you know, we'd find someone like you. And she started laughing. And I knew that was like my higher power, that I was in the right place. And a fellow member had also told me, because I told her, well, I don't know if, you know, this job would be for me. And she said, Allie, you will know if a job is for you just by the way it feels. And when I went in, I felt confident. The energy was very kind and passionate. There was a lot of laughter. And I was offered the job right on the spot. And then a few months later, I got promoted and I got a $5,000 raise. And I also wanted to look for an apartment because I wanted to be financially independent again. And so I had a PRG and he told me all of the steps that I needed to do. And I also remember one of, because a PRG is usually a man and a woman. And the woman who did it for me, she was really blunt and insensitive. And I was kind of like offended. And because I was getting really emotional. And she said, no, Al, you know, you've got to like take out the emotions and just, you know, focus on what you need to do. And so they told me, okay, Allie, if you want a one bedroom apartment, I want you to make a list of everything you're looking for in order. And so I did that. And luckily I did not have to wait too long to find an apartment.
5 minutes. And,
okay, thank you. And I did find an apartment. And out of the 16 things, I had 20 things listed, and God gave me 16 that was on my list. And when I was offered like the apartment, I was driving home and just like crying because I couldn't believe. I was like telling my sponsor, I said, you know what, I'm moving into my mansion. And to me, it was a mansion because at my parents' house, I was living in this little laundry room. And for me to move into like this big apartment that's approximately 700 square feet was like, wow, it just blew my mind away. And also I have PPO, which is really nice. I can go to like any specialty doctor. I have full dental vision. I have a 401k. And I also have a savings, prudent reserve, vacation, and I'm paid salary. And let's see what else. The abundance. Yeah, and now I really enjoy taking care of my body because before a program, I really took like my health for program health for granted. I did not like going to the doctors because I didn't trust them. And now I'm like really excited. Like when something is wrong with me, I don't want to go, I make an outreach phone call and I pray to God and I ask God, you know, to please give me the courage to, you know, take care of myself and love myself enough, knowing that I do deserve good health care, you know, self-care. And I also have, you know, a healthy relationship with my family. I've been able to pay off my debt that I owed my brother. I also paid off my credit card in 2018, but I only had $6,000. And I know that's not really a lot to compare to some people, but that was a lot for me. And I'm grateful that I was a frugal person because a lot of people say, well, I don't understand why you're in Debtors Anonymous when you don't spend a lot of money. And I try to tell them, you know, there's different types. And I was a type of person that did not like to spend money, even though I have the money. And that is something I still struggle with because of like my dad's gambling addiction. And but that is something I get to like process, you know, like with my sponsor, God, and people in program. And that I don't act out of impulse. I do like a lot of planning and do, you know, price comparisons. And let's see, what else? Yeah, so the employer that I have right now, I've been with them for, you know, for 6 years. And before I got that job, my sponsor at the time, you know, told me, hey, Allie, I want you to write down all of the lists that you're looking, what you're looking for in an employer. And I remember when I got that job, it had so many things that I was looking for. And I just, you know, thank God for all the abundance in my life. And even just like thinking about it right now, just, you know, really makes me emotional. And I couldn't have done all of this, you know, without program.
1 minute. And,
okay, thank you. And so I thank God for all of like the crazy things that I did, all of like my mistakes, because without them, you know, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. I don't work, you know, a perfect program, but I do my best to, you know, just be me, feel my feelings, make sure I reach out to the right people who will support my visions or even hear, you know, understand like my struggles, and knowing that God has always been and will always be my employer, my landlord, you know, my lover. He's just, you know, he's always with me. And so just want to say it's been a great pleasure to be of service. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Allie. Thank you for your share.